Thank you very much.
I think that there's a big omen here today because people think that they may save some money off their stock of dollar. Not going to happen. Okay, so the subject matter today, as the Rav said, puts together two tremendously important yesodis, pillars of our avodas Hashem, which we cannot survive without having both of them. But nevertheless, today's subject deals with the fact that sometimes the concept of tefillah and the idea of tzedakah, these two mitzvahs, these two such important mitzvahs that every yid has to perform on a daily basis, sometimes they could collide. They could come into some kind of a conflict, and we need to resolve the derech ha-torah, how does one deal with this potential conflict that comes. We know, of course, I come from Lakewood, New Jersey. I think over there it's a little bit of a bigger issue than here. Although this morning by davening, I was zeichet to be approached by two mishalachim during davening, so I know that this is an issue that happens in Chicago as well. But two is not ten, and ten is not 12. Sometimes it could be a much larger group and a consistent thing. For the mishalachim, for the aniyim that come to ask for money, this is prime time. They have a captive audience, nobody can walk out, it's during davening, people are maybe receptive to be approached at that time. Some people are, they have a more large audience in one room, they don't have to go necessarily from door to door, which is a much greater tircha, much harder for them to do. And for them, this is the best way that they could do what they need to do to be able to support themselves or the institution that they're collecting for. For the mishpalim, however, for the people that are really coming to shul not to give tzedakah, that's not the primary reason why we come to shul. We come to shul in order to be able to daven. Otherwise, we could daven at home, but we come to shul because at the end is the makom hatfila, the makom minyan. And for us, it's really not the best time to give tzedakah. Really, we want to daven. People in the Yiddish, people want to come to daven. They want to do so with the proper way. So for us, it's not such a good time. So we have something that for the aniyim is the best time. For us, it's less than the best time, and sometimes people do not want to get involved. So we want to have to decide after Yalacha, are we obligated to listen to such a request when we're in the middle of davening? And are we obligated? Are we exempt? And perhaps maybe there's even a sad to say, there's a possibility to say that you're not allowed to get stuck in doing davening. You're busy doing davening now, this is what you should be concentrating on. Could be that this is not even considered the mindset stuck. So these are the issues that we want to discuss today. So let's just clarify that when we say davening, we use davening as a very big word. But really, our avodas tefillah, certainly we're talking about chakras now, is divided into different sections, and the halachas of one are not the same as the halachas of the others. So no question about it that during Shemoneh Esrei, if somebody were not to realize that you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, would approach you during Shemoneh Esrei, absolutely you're obligated to ignore it. And you cannot give them tzedakah, that's considered a hesed hadas, a hefset, whatever you want to call it, Jewish Shemoneh Esrei, only with the hamelach. At that time, nobody else has any right to approach you. Although I've seen once a mishumah go over to the Shliach Tzibur while he was doing chazaras hashat, perhaps he didn't realize, but something like that could happen. So, no question about it that at that point we're not discussing. The same halacha would be concerning the first parsha of Kriya Shema. Right? Sometimes they come to you, they don't know exactly where you're holding. You are in the middle of the first parsha of Krishna. So that's the first halacha from Shulchan Aruch and Siman Samach Gimel. That during a Kriya Krishna is lo yirma is the aid of, you cannot wink with your eye, the lo yikra chisfasa, you cannot even move your lips in a certain way, other than the Kriya Shema, the lo yarga is vaisa, you can't point with your fingers. The parsha Rishayim, when it comes to the first parsha, we have this very strict halacha. Mechaber says, Shehu Iker Kabbalas Oy Malchus Shemayim. That is the time that you are supposed to be dedicated to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you do anything else, even if it doesn't disturb your Kavanah, but nevertheless, if they Shemira Kekayre Aloyim, Kriya Shema, you're supposed to be totally in tune, totally focused on the Avodah of Kriya Shema. When you do something else, even something minor at the same time, you are downgrading the importance of Krishna and you're calling it a Kriyas Aroi. We learn, says the Mechaber, V'Debar Tavon, V'Darshin and Asei Oysim Keva. Well, you're supposed to be focused. This is what you're doing right now and nothing else. So during the first parasha of Krishna also, somebody comes over to you from Shema until the first of Sharecha, absolutely ignore. But the question that we want to talk about today is, the truth is, from second parasha of Krishna, and certainly Vayomer, Mishnevura says that for Litvar Mitzvah is okay. Litvar Mitzvah, Kul Alma Mutal Lirmois, the parasha Shnei. Of course you can't speak. You can't talk out clearly. Speak. Oh, but to just be a remiss, so taking out a quarter, taking out a dollar, is akin to a remiss. It's akin to do something that doesn't require a hefsek. So over there, Mr. Burr says, for a prime mitzvah, if a person has to do it, then he's allowed to do it. And certainly, when it comes to other parts of what we call davening, such as Tzugur Zimra, Birchas Kriya Shema, during Kriya Satayim, and between the times of Kriya Satayim and Asher Valetziyim, so all those sections, we call that davening, but of course they're all different. So the real question we want to know is, if we are approached by an ani at that time, what is supposed to be our response? So on one hand, tefillah, as we said, requires kavanah. Even in the parts of tefillah where kavanah is not necessarily ma'akeh, it doesn't necessarily make the tefillah no good altogether, but everybody understands that the neshama of tefillah, what gives it the whole power, what tefillah is all about, we sometimes just are used to saying the words of our mouth. But the way tefillah is supposed to be, it requires concentration. It's supposed to be piv, the lead by seven. Your mouth is supposed to say the words, but the idea has to be in your heart, in your mind. You're supposed to be thinking of what you're saying. It requires a concentration. It's really difficult, and I've tried it, I'm sure all of you also have tried it, to be mechaven in your tefillah and to get stuck at the same time. It's a contradiction. It doesn't really work well, especially if the person shows you a document to show that he was vetted. Sometimes they give you a pitch, how much, how important their mission is. Yeah, sometimes you're looking for change. It's not shy of feeling for a person if he's davening properly. If he understands what feeling is, to daven with kavanah and at the same time get stuck up, a malice could do that. Somebody may be very special, but most people cannot do so, especially if you're davening in a minyan, which may be, I don't know, sometimes a little bit in a rush, and if you're stuck for maybe 10 seconds to take care of your stuck in business, you know, you miss the day, that's it, it's gone. You'll never catch up in time. So therefore, it's not a practical application to daven and to give stuck at the same time. This is not to room the holy side of feelings, well known for Reb Chaim Brisker. That Reb Chaim Brisker explains another place to him as well, that the kavanah that's required in tefillah, it's not just the din because you have to concentrate. But that's the maisa hatfila itself. Tefillah in its very itself requires kavanah. If a person davens without kavanah, Reb Chaim says it's like a misasik. Misasik means that the maisa is not even attributed to you. It's as if you did something that you have absolutely no connection to. So even though you mouth the words, but if you lack kavanah in it, it doesn't have a shame tefillah in the chlal. Whether it's ma'akim or not is another subject. But nevertheless, that's the whole yisod of what tefillah is all about. So we cannot give up on tefillah. In other words, we can't say, well, you know, tefillah, okay, but tefillah means kavanah. That is the definition of tefillah. If a person cannot daven properly, with kavanah properly, it's nishkan tefillah. The notion of the well-known words of the Mechaber and Simon Tzadik Ches, when he introduces the concept of kavanah, on a vibe that we should get to, he says, v'yachshav kinu shechina kenegdah, he would have certainly been prepared. That sees our machshavas, that knows what we're thinking about, how much a tremendous kavanah a person has to have, to the degree that he almost is completely in tandem with the Rabbanu Shalom and nothing else. So we don't get to that level of kavanah. The Mechaber says already, nowadays we don't get to that level. But basic kavanah, to master the words, just pirush hamilas, to know what you're saying, that is basics. That's the ABC of tefillah. And sukkah could sometimes come in conflict, and that's a problem. But on the other hand, we could stand here all day and wax blank about the important, tremendous mitzvah of tzedakah that we cannot override as well. It's something that the world lives in tzedakah. Tzedakah tatzel mamavis. Tzedakah is a mitzvah asei min ha-toyra, that a person is not allowed to be mis'al le-menenda. I'll just read you the words of the Mechaber, a little bit about the description of tzedakah. The Mechaber says, Mitzvah's essay, Mitzvah's Zogar, and the Torah is Mitzvah to us with an assay, and an unloist assay. And somebody who's Ma'alim Eid Rumena, with somebody who's requested to give Zogar, and he doesn't give it. So the Mechaber says, he's Zogar and Loisa says, Shemema, Loisa Amitz is Levavcha, the Loisikpitz is Yodcha, those are Psukim and Pashas Re'ei. The Cholamalim Eid Rumena, if somebody veers away from the request of Zogar, Nikr Pnial, that's not a good term, that's a bad term to be called. And he says, Kiyimu Oyvin Alilim is akin to a person who is Oyvin by the Zara. And so careful a person has to be in it in order to make sure that he's Makar the Mitzvah Stalker, because a lot of eyes are going to soon see. So it comes out that could be, one could argue, that the Mitzvah Stalker is so important, is so critical, is so central to our Vedas Hashem, that perhaps it pushes off the Mitzvah of Stalker altogether. After all, we find the Mitzvah Tefillah altogether, because Tzedakah is something that is a say and a loy say in the Torah, we'll soon discuss. The Shulchan Aruch already says in Siman Tzedek Beis that anyway, really before a person begins to daven, a person is anyway supposed to give Tzedakah. This is what he's supposed to do, because it says, Ani b'tzedek echzeh panecha. For the Tefillah to work, it requires Tzedakah. Tzedakah juices the way of the Tefillah, it opens up the gates of the Rabbanu Shalom. So therefore, it is something that maybe perhaps we should push away the tefillah because of the, right now, we're not intuited to do tzedakah. As should tzedakah override the power of tefillah, what comes to mind is, everybody who reads Chumash knows Avraham Avinu standing, the Rebbeinu Shalom is visiting Avraham Avinu, the Gemara says, G'dolim ha'achnas ha'zarechim, me'akbalas p'nei ha'shchina. So akbalas p'nei ha'shchina, that's like davening. What's akbalas p'nei ha'shchina? Avraham was engaged in a dialogue with the Rebbeinu Shalom, and discussing Dwar, but nevertheless, here comes three Arabs, and it's time to do Chesed, Tzedakah, Achnas Zorchim, and the Gemara says, G'dayim Achnas Zorchim, Akbamas Pnei Hashchina. So that would give us an indication that if a person has a conflict, here is a situation of a conflict between Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina and Achnas Zorchim, and the Gemara says, Achnas Zorchim is greater. So if so, it should come out that Tzedakah is greater than Tzedakah. So stop davening, give the Tzedakah, or continue davening, or catch up davening, without the Yechidus, whatever it is. But if Tzedakah overrides a Tzedakah, so maybe this might be the right way to approach. So this is the side. So really, from the halachic point of view, this goes into the well-known side, the well-known suya called Oisik the Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, which really deals with conflicts and collisions amongst mitzvahs. When a person is busy doing a mitzvah, he's oisik in the mitzvah. So we have the rule that is agreed upon by all authorities that at that time, that you're potter min hamitzvah. Your result, right now, the other mitzvah doesn't have any obligation upon you. It doesn't have any pressure on you because you're busy doing your Rabbeinu Shalom's rule and you can't have a mitzvah. And that will be on any part of davening. It doesn't make a difference. Read the Sugar Zimra, the Sugar Zimra, they're all, you're right now involved in the Avodas HaTfilah. That's a mitzvah, the way the mitzvah is Miskayim, the way Chazan, Avodas HaTfilah, how the mitzvah should be done. And therefore, at that point, since I'm Oisik in this mitzvah, so the Halacha tells us that you're potter from any other mitzvah, despite the fact that maybe the other mitzvah is even greater. Anybody who's learned a little Gemara knows the famous case of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. What's the case of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef? The Gemara says if a person is a Shomer Aveda, he found something in the street, he needs to return it to its owner, that's a mitzvah eser d'oraisa in Hashanah Aveda. Until he finds the owner, he is a Shomer. He has to guard that Aveda. So the Gemara brings out a machlokes between Amoraim, whether a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Tzachar. And you can say that nobody's really paying you, so really it should be a Shomer Chinam, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef says that any Shomer Aveda is really a Shomer Tzachar. Why? Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara explains it with the Rashi over there, because since a person has to be busy with the Aveda, he has to watch it, he has to guard it, he has to take care of it, because he has to return it in the proper way. So at the time that he's busy taking care of the Aveda, there could be a knock on his door, and a request for stuff, and Ani could come and ask for stuff at that time. He's exempt from the Gemara. He's saved himself a couple of dollars on his stuck a dollar or his stuck a penny, because he's busy with being a Shomer Aveda. And therefore, says the Gemara, he's a Shomer Tzachar. He has now earned something. What has he earned? He's earned a few dollars of stucker that he otherwise would have gone to stucker. Now he gets to keep that. So that's the sinner Hashem is Sacher, and he's exempt from the mitzvah of Sacher because he's involved in the mitzvah of Shemir Aveda. So here you have the classic Oisik mitzvah, Potem and a mitzvah, which is pretty similar to what we're doing right now, because this person is busy with the mitzvah of Tefillah and he's getting a request for the mitzvah of Sacher. Well, he doesn't have to give it because he's busy with this mitzvah, because Oisik mitzvah, Potem and a mitzvah. Now the sheet of Toisvus in Bava Kamma and other places in Shas is that this halacha pruta de Rav Yosef, that because you're busy with the shmiras aveda, you have now become exempt from the request of tzedakah. Tosfos says, "Dafka b'shor shemistasikva." Only at the time that you're actually really busy with the aveda. Kedayi says, "Shetayas letzarcha." If you find the garment, you have to air it out. You can't let it become dusty or creased. So you hope you spread it out. I'm shem esik letzarcha on aveda. Unless you're busy putting in an ad or finding the owner, you're busy with the actual aveda. You're actually oisik in the mitzvah of aveda. Adonai says, "Bishosh aveda bebeisoi." Just because a person has an aveda, he found an aveda, he keeps it in his house. So that's just why you're offering them the license. This is an idea. That in itself would not be an exemption to give bread to a poor person. Because since you could do both, so Tosfos Shita is that when you can do both, the concept of oisim and a mitzvah, tough and mitzvah doesn't apply. In other words, come to Tosfos, it's only a conflict if you can't do both. So then we say that since you're busy with this mitzvah, so then you're talking with that other mitzvah. But if you could do both, so then the obligation is there too. Now Tosfos says, how do I know that when the yochal and kai shayim, oisim and mitzvah, tough and mitzvah doesn't apply? Where's the source for that? Actually, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, which might indicate to say that you, any time that you oisik b'mitzvah, you should be potter. So then it says, svara. Yeah, he says this, I don't know how to source. But it's a simple svara. The otto odom shiyesh lo tfilin b'roishoy, v'tzitzis b'bigdoy, u'mezuzah b'pischoy, you potter min ha-mitzvah? Everybody has a mezuzah in their house. Everybody's wearing tzitzis all day long. In those days, everybody wore tfilin all day long. So you're going to go say that every time a person is doing such a mitzvah, you possibly any other mitzvah that comes around, you know, you should not make a bracha of food because you weren't filling on your head. So this is not too sovereign to say that. It must be the pshat. Because yachin and kayim shteim, I can have a mezuzah at my door, and I can do mitzvahs, I can do tzatzah, I can do other things. It's not a conflict in the actual performance of the mitzvah, and that's called yachin and kayim shteim. That's the situation that Tosfos holds. That's interesting. I don't know if it's 100% predictive, but Tosfos uses examples like tefillin b'roishoy, tzitzis b'bigdoy, mezuzah b'pischoy, for examples where a person can do kayim shteim. But he doesn't say doing that. He doesn't bring that up as a thing. But he says tefillin b'roishoy, you have to understand, not from a tefillin doing that. Those days people were tefillin from Hamezahama until Shkia, all day long, throughout your business, throughout your food, whatever you did. So then it says it's impossible to say that if a person is Yachal Kayim Shteim, he should be exempt. But Tess would also agree that when a person is supposed to be oisik, in other words, davening is similar to the case where Tess begins, Shekteach Letzarcha or Eisik Shetzarcha. When you're busy with the actual Aveda, everybody agrees that that's considered Ein Yachal Kayim Shteim, and at that time, oisik and mitzvah kicks in. So if a person would be davening, I would think that it's a svar of shoot, because this is due to the svar. So I would think it's a svar of shoot to say that when a person is davening and he's supposed to concentrate on davening, because that's the essence of davening, as we said before, so then it will be disturbing him, and that's considered oisik in the mitzvah of tefillah. And when a person is oisik with mitzvah tefillah, he's parted from any other mitzvah, even though the other mitzvah may be greater than that, because this will be a classic EF Shirah Kayim Shteim. This is not shy for a person to do it. In other words, davening in tzedakah is a lot more similar than aveda in tzedakah, and not like tzitzis the big day, mezuzah the pisrei, where you're not involved in the mitzvah at all, which is there, right? And therefore, Tosfos will tell us we would think that according to Tosfos' opinion, this would be a situation of ein yachal kayim shteim, oisik the mitzvah, other mitzvah would kick in, and therefore the person would be exempt. In addition to that, even though that is the shita of Tosfos, that the only time that you say oisik mitzvah, potter mitzvah is only if it's ein yochel mekayim shteim, actually, we do not paskin like that. The Ran disagrees with Tosfos, and the Ran holds that whenever a person is oisik mitzvah, even though he's yochel mekayim shteim, even though he could perform another mitzvah at the same time, nevertheless, once he's involved performed mitzvah A, mitzvah B comes and he could perform mitzvah B, nevertheless he is potter. The lashon of the Rav is, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down in Siman Lamed Ches on the sheet of the Ramah. He says like this, Tam adov kasav aran, lefi shekom sho'oisik b'melachte shel mokim, lechiyavtu toira mitroyach v'lekayim mitzvah sacheres, afa pisha efsherlein. The Torah says, right that you're doing Hashem's work. You're involved with Hashem. You're doing something that the Rebbe Hashem wants you to do. Once you're involved with the Rebbe Hashem, there's nothing to do with the fact whether or not physically you could do something else or not, according to the Rav's opinion, unlike Tosfos. It has to do with the fact that right now you're phenomenal. You're taken with the Rebbe Hashem, and we have a relationship with the Rebbe Hashem through a mitzvah. Once you have a mitzvah relationship with Hashem, there's no room for any other mitzvah to be performed, despite the fact that you could technically perform another mitzvah. The Rav says that that's the reason why the Mishnah says in Brachas, Habishamer and Sameis, Potter mitzvillin and mikrishma, umikoma mitzvahs, afbishiyochim ozlekayim kama mitzvahs. Person is watching a mess. That's a mitzvah. But the Mishnah said that at that time, you don't have to say krishma, you don't have to daven. Now, when you're shamer the mace, you're not actively busy. Shmiras Sameis is the most lack of activity that a person could do. You don't do anything else but just being there. That's the mitzvah of shmiras Sameis. But nevertheless, says the Mishnah, that a person is potter from Krishna and Tefillah. So we see that has nothing to do with being Yachin L'Kayim Shteyim, even though it's Yachin L'Kayim Shteyim, but right now you've been Shemim the Mace. So you have a relationship with the Rebbe Hashanah through that mitzvah. There's no room for another mitzvah to be performed. And therefore the Ram says even more, Achay for Kevra L'Mace. Potter Kul, you're digging a grave for the Mace. You're potter for the mitzvahs, even though you have to rest a little bit. He said, no, but while you're resting, you're still considered Isaac of Mitzvah. This way you have more kaiches to dig afterwards. And therefore, your potter, even though, he says, even though at the time of resting, if an ani were to come to you while you're resting, that's not going to take away from your rest to give him a penny at that point. That's not an unrestful activity. But it does make a difference. Since the resting is part of the mitzvah, so therefore the mitzvah now is in relationship with the Rabbi Shalom. There's no room for another mitzvah to be performed. And therefore, Isaac and mitzvah, Potom and the mitzvah, according to the sheet of the Ram, which the Ramah in the Arachayim, Simen Lamed Ches, Siv Ches, Paskins like that, and says that that will be Paskin, that even though it's Eshel Lekayim Shteyim, but nevertheless, Isaac and mitzvah, Potom and mitzvah kicks in. The only caveat, the only requirement that the Ram and the Ramah say that it has to be is, that it has to be a little bit of a tirch. They add the words, in other words, what they're trying to say is like this. If I'm doing one mitzvah, and the other mitzvah is right here, it requires no exertion on my part, then you don't say, even according to the sheet of the Ram. You know why? Because even though you're busy with this mitzvah, but this other mitzvah is right over here. You're not going away from this mitzvah to perform another mitzvah. You're still involved in both mitzvahs, but you're doing both activities together. That, even the Rav holds, is not considered oisik a mitzvah, and one will be chayav. But anything which requires any tircha whatsoever, any veering away from what you're doing towards another thing, that's oisik a mitzvah, and therefore you're part of the mitzvah. So I would say that, according to Tosfos, I think it's a svara to say that it's davening and tzedakah is any of the kind of thing. But according to the Ram, which the halacha follows like the Ram, we don't even have to come out with it. In other words, even though it's not the kind of thing, but it certainly veers you away. It certainly steers you away from your focus of tefillah when you have to stop, or think about the tzedakah giving at the time that you're giving at the time that you're supposed to be davening. So therefore, for sure, this will be considered the situation of tircha. So even though technically a person is Yochim Lekayim Shteyim, but we pass like the Rav, but this is a Isaac Mitzvah Potter and Mitzvah situation, and therefore a person in such a situation will be exempt. I think that according to that, it will come out, I don't know, so why is there a Rav Avinu? So how can we learn from a Rav Avinu that Doim Achnos is Yochim Lekabos Tnei Shechina? Why didn't a Rav Avinu is Isaac Mitzvah? Lecharish Potter and Mitzvah? What happened to that rule? And certainly not Yochel Kaim Shteyim, I don't think, and certainly it's a tircha. So why is it that Avraham Avinu was stopped doing the mitzvah of Akvolas Tanei Hashchina, and he went ahead to do Agdala Achnasas Archim? So at first I was thinking that I don't know if you could even say it, but I was thinking that who says that Avraham was the kind of mitzvah? You know who's really the kind of mitzvah then? The Rabbi Shalom is the kind of mitzvah, because from here we learn Ma'hu Mevaka Chayim of Atum Mevaka Chayim. So at that point, Avraham Avinu wasn't really performing a mitzvah, he was the recipient, he was the Rabbi Shalom was doing a mitzvah with him. So therefore, it could be that he didn't have the concept of Isaac mitzvah, Potter, and a mitzvah. It's a little bit of a chiddush to say. say that wasn't a mitzvah by Avraham Avinu to talk with Hashem. But Lamaisa, the performance of the mitzvah was done with Hashem and two towards Avraham. Later, I once said this to Rabbi when somebody told me that the Nehamik Dover, the Nitzim and Hamik Dover, asked this word question. How does Avraham Avinu benach nasav menuzvina? Lechari says, Oisik and mitzvah pata the mitzvah. So the Nitzim says, but I think it's also a bit kiddish, but since the Nitzim says it, so we can remind the Nitzim, he says, about it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah that Avraham Avinu was doing is called the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. There's a mitzvah called Va'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. There's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. But he says, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem doesn't have a specific zman, nor does it have a specific shir. It's similar to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the biggest mitzvah that we have. Talmud Torah, Gemara, Yikum. But nevertheless, the rule is that if there's a conflict between Talmud Torah and the performance of any other mitzvah, all the other mitzvahs push away Talmud Torah in order to perform the mitzvahs, because otherwise a person would be learning Torah all day long and not doing any mitzvahs, and the whole purpose of Talmud Torah is in order to enhance our kingdom mitzvahs. So we have the rule that if it's E.F. Shalas Dechirin, the Talmud Torah gets pushed off another mitzvah. So therefore, he says mitzvah of Avas Hashem is like the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's what Bina Digamar is telling us. That Gidoy Nachnas Zarchim, Nachnas Zarchim is such a great mitzvah that it pushes off even the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, which is almost an unbelievable important mitzvah, but nevertheless, it pushes it off like any mitzvah that would be pushed off. But that's like a chiddush. That even Nachnas Zarchim, he could have told the Arab, listen, wait a half hour, let me finish with you. He could have found a way. No. It's like Talmud Torah. And since right now we have that mitzvah, so Talmud Torah gets pushed off. And even Avas Hashem gets pushed off. As I state in the tip. So it comes out that this is not part of the sugya of Isaac Mitzvah, Potom, and Mitzvah. And therefore, so far in our discussion, we're up to the fact that a person is exempt from giving tzedakah at the time that he's involved in the avodas atfila, whether you learn like Taismith, whether you learn like the halacha like the Ram, the halacha will come out Isaac and Mitzvah, Potom, and Mitzvah. One can argue, therefore, based on that, that not only is a person potter from giving tzedakah at that time, but one can argue that maybe you're not even allowed to give tzedakah at that time. And perhaps it's not even a mitzvah. And you're not even right for the mitzvah of tzedakah. And perhaps if you're using ma'aser money to give to the Ani to its tefillah, I don't know if you're allowed to use ma'aser money at that time. Ma'aser money has to use the performance of mitzvah of tzedakah. But if this is not a mitzvah of tzedakah, we have a rule. If you're exempt from a mitzvah and it doesn't have the din and the chalois of the shem mitzvah, you consider it heavy, it's not considered a mice and mitzvah b'chlal. So perhaps if the Isaac and the mitzvah potum the mitzvah tells us that a person is exempt, so could be the exemption will actually not allow him to do it, and the actual performance of it will not be its doctor. The truth is, there is such a svar in the ritva. The ritva and sukkah daf chavhei asks, the Gemara within Sukkot of Chavei says the rule of Isaac and Mitzvah, Potom and Mitzvah, and the Gemara brings it after the Pasuk. The Gemara brings Mekayis and Torah for the rule of Isaac and Mitzvah, Potom and Mitzvah. Asks the Ritzvah, why do I need a Pasuk to exempt Isaac and Mitzvah, Potom and Mitzvah? Since he assumes like Tosfos, since obviously you talk about in a situation of E.F. Sher Mekayis Shem, that you can't do both, so he says it's a svara. If you began to do a mitzvah, obviously you should continue doing the mitzvah that you began. Why would you drop mitzvah number one in order to do mitzvah number two? It's a svara that I would not stop a mitzvah to perform another mitzvah. So thus, tafach, what do I need a pasuk for that for? Is something that I can figure out on my own, says the ritzvah, because it's the actual kind of thing. So I have to continue with what I did, because he learns like Taismas. So the ritzvah answers in his first terrace that the pasuk, you're right. He says, you don't need a pasuk. The svara tells us that a person is involved in a mitzvah, he doesn't have to do stuff. But you know what you need a pasuk? To let you know that you're not allowed to. So also loy lahafsik, the mitzvah is shayin, to do the second mitzvah. And the words in the ritzvah are, harei I etz loy achshav kedomer shom mishus. Since you're busy with mitzvah number one, the pasuk is letting us know that the other mitzvah now is a mishus, it loses its status as a mitzvah. So now you're not allowed to, right? Because since you're doing a mitzvah, the other thing becomes a mishus based on the chiddush of the pasuk, and therefore, how could you do it by mishus? I mean, you're performing it by mitzvah. For that, you need the chiddush of the pasuk, according to the ritzvah. So it will come out, according to this, it will come out that a person is not allowed to give tzedakah during davening, and if he did, doesn't get any credit for it, because this is not partner stuck a dollar at work because it became now its varishus, and therefore kumin it's not its donker. So even though this, there is such a mitzvah, and maybe some rishonim will hold back, la halacha, la maisa, this is not so. No, the mitzvah is only going to be twice the sheet of any Eshel Kaim Shnei, if you already run the whole question, it's not a question. But the truth is like this, in Simon Tov Ayin Hei, in Ilchus Pesach, in Ilchus Matzah, the Mechaber rules over there that a shoiter, somebody who is illegally, halachically defined as a shoiter, if he ate matzah on Pesach night, he was mechanical mitzvah, and then the Nisrafe, then Baruch Hashem, the Rabbanish helped, and it became healed, and is no longer a shoiter. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Chayiv lechem oit kezais. He has to eat another kezais. Why? A shaita is potum kama mitzvahs. So therefore, even though he ate a matzah and it's in his stomach and he certainly feels the matzah, but he doesn't have a shaita mitzvah because if he's popped up in the mitzvah, if you're popped up in the mitzvah, you cannot perform a mitzvah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Tav Ayin Hei. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shara Tzin over there says like this, La'afuki, as opposed to shomer aveda, oy mishamer hames. As opposed to a person who is a shomer aveda or watching a mace on Pesach night, after Gankin Potter Ozim Kol HaMitzvahs, V'afilu Yochim V'kayim Shteim in Tzorch Yitzvah Achar Zeh, because like the Ram, Mishnah Berurah Masseh the Ram, that he's exempt from the other mitzvahs, even though he's Yochim V'kayim Shteim, and therefore he's Potter, but what will be if he ate matzah? If a person is a shomer mace on Friday night, and he has to watch the mace, there's nobody else to do it, now he wants to be yetzer the mitzvah matzah. So he's eating the mitzvah matzah while he's shomer the mace. Is he yetzer or is he not yetzer? Says the Mishnah Berurah, yetzer yidei chavasai. You are yetzer at that point. And he says, to who ish? You're a man, you're a person, you're chayiv in the mitzvah, and l'sha'oz l'chiyachta ha-tayirat neshu oisif ha-mitzvah cheres. You don't have the obligation to do it. Because at that point, you're busy with another mitzvah, so the obligation doesn't exist. But nevertheless, if you ate, says the Mishnah Berurah at first, you're yaitzah, because it's different than a shaita. A shaita loses the status of ish. He's potter in a mitzvah. It's like a cotton that doesn't have the chayv. He's not in the parasha. If you're not in the parasha, so if you ate matzah, not in the parasha, not yaitzah. But if here you are in the parasha, you have an exemption. But an exemption doesn't mean that you're not a mitzvah. And therefore, if you ate the matzah at that time, you'll be mekayim the mitzvah matzah at that time. And then he says, Yishai Tzim, umakom to mistapakna, I remain in Shiloh, in yuchal oz levorech birchas achilas matzah asher kibisholim b'mitzvois v'tzivon. Kein shehu oz enem b'tzuvah ozeh. So Mishnah remains in a shaila, when there's such a person who is a shaila remains in the Seder night, or is involved in any other mitzvah, could make a bracha on achimas matzah, because perhaps you're potter. But he holds, that's a shaila in the bracha, so bracha maybe after the matzah. But the Iker Hadin, he holds that a person who is exempt based on oisim mitzvah and a mitzvah doesn't lose the mitzvah of a mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah because he's a bar chiyuva. And therefore, I would think that in our case, it's similar to that, and a person is oisim mitzvah and tima, you don't become exempt from the mitzvah, you become exempt, yeah, you're potter from the tzedakah, but if you were to perform the tzedakah, it would have a shame tzedakah, I would think that you would use meisah money for that, and in Hashem Matzah, you can't say that it's different. The same idea we find in Mishnah Berurah, Siman Ayin, he quotes the Prima Gaon, concerning a person who's a oisit mitzvah chayrabim. There is on the books, I'm not telling everybody to use it, but on the books there's an exemption called somebody who's a oisit mitzvah chayrabim is busy with the public welfare, is potter the Krishna. You don't have to say Krishna at that time. But nevertheless, that's the halacha. Says the Prima Gaon, become to me pasak v'kora, shaka yotze v'chavosak. But if you did, you're yotze. You don't have to read afterwards again, because you know, let's say you finish with the tzvah chayrabim while it's still this man, you don't have to read it again, because the Prima Gaon explains, the loy potter mamish mikriyashma, el shu oz oisig mitzvah cheres. An interesting terminology. You're not really potter, but you're busy. So, even though oisig mitzvah, potter with a mitzvah, you're not really potter the fact that the mitzvah doesn't have shem mitzvah. You're temporarily phenomenon. You can't get to it, and therefore you don't have to perform it. But if you did, it is, has a shem mitzvah. That's the lumbus to go to the halach. And therefore, I think in our case, you may be exempt from giving tzedakah, but certainly if you decide to give tzedakah, or if you're not being mechaven anyway, whatever the situation is, the halacha would be that this is considered a mitzvah, so we don't make a bracha on tzedakah anyway, so it's not a bracha shayla, and therefore that would be as far as that is concerned. Now, another thing to speak out to this exemption of oisik mitzvah, a potum in a mitzvah is, there are chalokim in tefillah, as a matter of fact, most of tefillah is the rabbah. According to the Rabban Shita, even Shemoneh Esrei is the Rabban. But besides the Parsha of Krishna, or maybe the second Parsha of Krishna, according to some Rishayim, most of Tevilah is the Rabbanim. Because Krishna is certainly the Rabbanim. Chazar Sashatz is certainly only Takana the Rabbanim. Sukkot Zimmer is Midir Rabbanim. Kriya Satari is Midir Rabbanim. Most of Davening is Midir Rabbanim. So now, do you say, is that a double poshet, that Oisik be mitzvah the Rabbanim, Potter be mitzvah the Arisa? In other words, because mitzvah Staka is a mitzvah the Arisa. Mitzvah Tevilah, most of it is Midir Rabbanim. In the case that we had a truth of the Rabbi Yosef, the person was performing mitzvah the Raisa, Shmiris Aveda. So today, we know, it's a mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. In the Yoruba Sukkah, the Yoruba means that from Sukkah, those are mitzvahs the Raisa. But over here, we have a case where a person is busy with performing mitzvahs the Rabbanim. So the question is, do you also say, Oisik for mitzvah the Rabbanim, Potter, the mitzvah the Raisa? So this is also discussed by some Paiskin. The Prima Garden in Siman Ein Beis, and it's also brought out by the Mishneh Berurah, brings down from the Magen Avraham, no question. Someone who's oisik with mitzvah the Rabbanim is potter with mitzvah the Raisa. And Israelis, Mamashim is wrong. Because Chafira's Hever, to dig out a grave for another person, that's not a mitzvah the Raisa. That's a mitzvah the Rabbanim. It's part of the mitzvah of Avayas Hamed. But it's a mitzvah the Rabbanim. And still the Mishnah says that a person who is a chayfuk hever is potter from mitzvah the Raisa, from Krishna, from Tfilin, from everything else. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says, not a question. Prima Gadim, though, you should just know, writes in that, I don't know what he means, but he writes three words. Sarech in minayim loizeh. Prima Gadim on this Magen Avraham said four words. Sarech in, I don't know how the Magen Avraham knows. Now, I don't know why the Prima Gadim doesn't know, because Magen Avraham is a rye from the Mishnah, and therefore it should be very clear. See, I don't know exactly. This is a sugya. The Bir Halacha quotes this Prima Gadim. He quotes the Magen Avraham, he quotes the Prima Gadim, he says, Sarech in minayim loizeh. It doesn't come. It doesn't say it. This remains a little bit of a closed subject, but the halacha of Eliza, as you agree with our question, is that even a mitzvah de Eliza, even a mitzvah de Rabbanim, could be doicha a mitzvah de Eliza. So therefore, if you're oisik the mitzvah de Rabbanim, you're potter from the mitzvah de Eliza, that seems to be the halacha of Eliza, and therefore, this is what you have to say, that issue is not an issue. Then another issue that you have to question when it comes to the oisik the mitzvah, potter in the mitzvah, is, that's for sure, but that's only said by mitzvahs aseh. In other words, if you're busy doing a positive commandment, the mitzvahs aseh, any other mitzvahs aseh that comes up, you'll be potter from the other mitzvahs aseh. But everybody agrees that you're not going to be potter from the mitzvah lois aseh, right? If there's an iser that comes up, so you're going to say, what do you mean? I can do this iser because I'm busy performing the mitzvah? No such thing. Nobody holds that oisik the mitzvah, potter from even an oinen, Rahman al-Islam, who's potter from mitzvahs, is not potter from lois aseh, he's only potter from mitzvahs aseh. He's also a word from the lomdus of oisik mitzvah, potter from mitzvah. So that's for sure, that you don't say oisik mitzvahs aseh, potter mitzvahs lois aseh. So the question is, asked Sadra Machreinim, how could, over here, the mitzvah tzedakah, the mitzvah tzedakah is not only an aseh, it's also an lois aseh. That's the Shulchan Aruch that we read before. So it comes out that if you get any request for tzedakah and you malam ayin, not only are you over pesach tishtach, but you over my levavcha. So that's for sure that oisik b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah does not give a person to be over an iser, and therefore we have a problem employing the concept of oisik b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah to the mitzvah of tzedakah. On the other hand, we have a first tomorrow. A truth of the Rabbi Yosef, that employs it, we got his tzedakah. Because the Gemara says that the person who is a Shemir Aveda is Marviach the truth of the Rabbi Yosef. So we see clearly that the Gemara holds that truth of the Rabbi Yosef gets pushed, a person is a part of that mitzvah because of the mitzvah because Shemir Aveda. So on the Chayra, I didn't like to say so, what's that Gemara? So this question is asked by a number of Achrenim. Most of them answer, there are some that, and the Rabbina. Most of them answer, not all, but most of them answer that the yisoid of the lav of tzedakah is only to the mechazik the esek. Interesting ones. The Torah means pesayach tiftach. You got to give. This is a Ramban Lederim, but we see it. The Torah means you have to give. But the Torah knew that people don't always like to give. So the Torah bolstered the esek, they added your lois esek. And therefore, say these achrayim, when the esek doesn't apply, the lois esek doesn't apply either. Because the whole yisrael of the lois is not an independent lois. You know, you don't say oisik mitzvah, potter from mitzvah, and an independent lois. You can't be chazer while you're doing mitzvah, right? But in the end, the whole lois is just there as an extension and because of that, it would come out that it's not considered an independent mitzvah, and Eisiv mitzvah, Potter mitzvah would override that. That seems to be the consensus of many Achreinim, from Zalman talks about it in one of the places, but there are other Achreinim who hedge about this part. They're not so sure if this is true. He says, who says? Who says that the essay and the mitzvah are connected to each other in that way? Perhaps the mitzvah is independent? And according to these Achreinim, you're going to have to say that the Gemara's case of Pruta de Rav Yosef, when we see clearly that Shomer Aveda exempts you from the mitzvah of Tzedakah, you're going to have to say that he didn't get a direct request. You know, it's not a situation of halomas. You know, not every situation, we're going to talk about that in a moment, that is very important. But not every situation encounters the loisase. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But if it would be a direct transgression of the loisase, it could be that Pruta de Rav Yosef wouldn't apply. This remains a little bit of an open subject. So let's clarify this, because this is central to our whole discussion. We said that there's a mitzvah of tzedakah when a person gets a request that he needs money, that Ani comes to him and he asks for tzedakah. So we have we have a loisasei, loisamis is lebocha, the loisikpas is yotcha. That is what a person is supposed to do. It's interesting like this. Let me just quote you a Ramah. The Ramah says, V'asur lahachzir ha'oni hashoyom v'ekam. A person is not allowed to tell an oni who asks a request from him, fly back. Go away, I want to give you a hint. Afilu ein moisimoi rak regregers as. Even if you're giving him a pit, regregers is a fig, it might have been a shabbat puter. Not even a shabbat puter. I have to give him something even though it's the smallest quantity. Says the Ramah, how do I know this halacha? Where does this come from? Shtek the Ramah, because it says, Al Yoshuv Dach Michma. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. And the translation according to this interpretation of the Ramah is, Al Yoshuv Dach Michma. Dach is a poor person. Michma means you can't embarrass somebody, Dach him another person. By him asking you for money, and you're saying, no. That's like an embarrassment to him. And therefore, even though you're not really helping by giving him, because all you're giving him is a gregarious achas, which is nothing, but nevertheless, there's a concept in the pasuk in Tehillim of Al Yoshuv Dach Michma Bazoi Shtekin the Ramah. There is an important question. Why does the Ramah dig into some pasuk in Tehillim, which could be understood in a hundred ways, not saying anything but stalker, it's just saying Al Yoshuv Dach Michma? Why is he giving us a concept in Tehillim? Well, you can bring us a Mefurish Pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Lo Yisalim is Leinecho. Brought that in the Mechavim. Lo Yisalim is Levocho. Lo Yisikmas is Yedecho. The Torah says, you're not allowed to be Yisalim from the request of Tzedakah. So, if the Rabbi, if he wanted to tell us that you can have to give something to an army every time he requests from you, he should have brought us a Mefurish Asay in the Torah that this way, and Lois is saying in the Torah that you cannot deny the request of Tzedakah. Instead, he goes ahead and he finds to us a Pasuk in Tehillim, which certainly can be understood in different ways. So the answer to this very important question is that the Ramah is teaching us an important insight. Not in all cases does mitzvah is there isser min atayra of l'sa'amitz es levacha and l'sikmat es yedacha. That applies actually to a very small amount of cases that we are not confronted with on a daily basis, although we could be confronted with it, but we're not confronted with it on a daily basis. So basically, it requires two conditions for this mitzvah to kick in, for the full-blown mitzvah to kick in. One, which is relatively easy, is the mitzvah only applies when you're getting a request from the Ani himself. The Ani himself comes to you and asks you for a donation, not via a Gabbai Tzedakah. That's altogether a different halacha, not via a messenger, not via somebody else. It only applies when there's a direct request from the Ani into the person that he's asking from. But secondly, and more importantly, the mitzvah that arises, now again, you have to be very clear here, we're not discussing Tzedakah. Tzedakah is a very big subject. There's a lot of charitable causes. There's a lot of ways that a person could perform tzedakah. Not discussing it. I'm discussing the mitzvah deraisa that a person must give upon request when he's asked, when he's being asked for tzedakah, and otherwise he's under the mitzvah deraisa of leisavitz as levacha v'lasikvitz as yedecha. That is only when the request that the Ani is coming to you is immediate, meaning. Right now, the Ani is hungry. He hasn't eaten yesterday. He hasn't eaten breakfast today. He doesn't have money to buy some basic necessities like food or like minimum clothing. He doesn't square, it's cold outside, he doesn't have a coat, he doesn't have a practice anything outside, something which is lacking right now, that if I don't give him right now, you are leaving him in a state of poverty to the degree that he can't get the help that he needs upon immediate necessity, immediate fulfillment of an existing need that's there right now. When a person asks you for that kind of money, you say, no, I'm not giving you. You are then over the mitzvah, and then you're over the mitzvah deraisa of lois amitzas levavi. You hardened your heart. Lois sikfas is yotcha. You became tight-fisted. You didn't let go. This person has this immediate need that he needs to take care of, and therefore you're over that thing. But in most of the situations that we're confronted in today, I'm not saying it can't happen the other way, but in most of the situations that we're confronted today, the people that are coming to collect are coming for a dira in Beit Shemesh, or to pay debts that they have and on a credit card, or all legitimate needs. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the legitimacy of it, and a person who helps them is absolutely mikayim the mitzvahs esrei deraisa of tzedaka, of a hadron min a hadron. That's not the discussion that we're having. But that's not the case that we're dealing over here, that a person is considered rejecting the field, because a lot of people have a lot of needs. All of us could use some debt consolidation and help with our hassles and buying homes and taking care of our credit card debt. That's a very big, unending thing. It's not an immediate need which needs to be satisfied right now. It might be a big pressure for the person who has that debt on him, no question about it. But it's not something which is that you're hardening your heart and you're tightening your fist and say, I'm not giving you, I need it right now and I'm not giving you. That's not the situation on hand. On that, says the Ramah. So that is the way. Most of the cases, even though Samet is Mabotel or Sikhs is Yechel doesn't apply, but nevertheless, when an ani comes to you and you just out of hand reject him and don't give him, so then there's another concept. This is an additional concept in Tehillim of Layosha Dach Nichlam, that you can't embarrass. The guy's asking for something and you reject him, you don't give him it away. So you're over this Issa the Rabbanon, nothing to do with the Issa the Raisa of the Torah, that you're over this Issa the Rabbanon, that you are embarrassing him by not giving him. And then, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, where this halacha of there's a Moshe say, B'ma'alim Einav Mimena, Shenemar, Loisamis is Mavacha, the last sequence is Yitacha. I read this to you before. The Chalamalim Einav Mimena Nikrib Liyal, Ukiilo Ebed Elilim, Umoidish Nizarva, why? I read it at the end of the paragraph. Ki Efshir Shiyobo Medeshvichas Dovim, because this could cause somebody could die. Shiyom was the only Hamadakish, Im Lo Yitim Lo Yiyad, Ke'ub De De Nochem Ishdamzu. Everybody knows the story of Nochem Ishdamzu. He procrastinated. The only was dying. He didn't have what to eat. Who knows how long. And it took a little too long and the person died. That's your classic rejection of an immediate need where its tzedaka has to be fulfilled. And if a person doesn't take care of that immediately, such a thing can happen. It doesn't happen so much today, according to our situation. But in years past, this was something which was much more common. But today, that's not the situation that most of them deal with. And therefore, that deraisa, the kedin of Masalas of Levacha, doesn't apply. Nevertheless, says the Ramah, that there is this additional factor of our Yomish Dach Nechem. And it seems to me for a double pashut, that this additional halacha of the Ramah, that you cannot embarrass somebody who's asking you a gift, you're supposed to pay anybody, and you're supposed to give something even small to any person who asks you, which is a good concept to do, and most of us try to do that all the time. Or what are we giving these people? A quarter, whatever it is. It's like a great risachas. This is what we're giving you most of the time. But it's also clear to me that, the Aliyah Shach Nichlam only applies in the situation where it's pushing embarrassing for the person who's coming to you, and you're just rejecting him out of hand as if he's worthless. So then you're embarrassing him. So even though he doesn't have an immediate need, and the rise of the situation of stuck, it may not be applicable, but nevertheless you're embarrassing him. But when, let's say, Mishalachim come to the shul, and we are supposed to be davening, whether we are or not, but we're supposed to be davening. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And they come to us, and we're saying, or telegraphing, that we're davening now. You know, I'm doing something now. I'm not embarrassing you. You're embarrassing me. I mean, why are you coming into my domain while I'm trying to daven, that while I have a half hour relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom for the day, and coming in and bothering me? I mean, but isn't that an embarrassing situation? Right now I'm busy. A person doesn't have to be available to give stuff to 24 hours a day. If he doesn't give some hours that is convenient for this honey, not in a derisive situation. Yeah, the guy's mad hungry. Nobody's
is important. But nevertheless, that's not the situation on the other Shtach Michlam. And I have a riot in this Yisoid. There's a sefer called Tondus Yaakov. Tondus Yaakov is actually the life story of the disciple. Yaakov is all the famous disciple. So it's brought out over there the following story. The Stipler came from Stipler, from Hans Stipler, came from a little town, and he ended up in Vilna before the war. He ended up in Vilna, he actually got married in Reb Chaim Oizer's house. That's where the chuppah took place. It wasn't such a fancy affair. So he lived in Reb Chaim Oizer's house for a few months after his chasana. He asked Reb Chaim Oizer, what should he do? He went to shul, he went to daven in the beautiful Beis HaKnesses of Vilna. Everybody knows the Chatzar, Beis HaKnesses of Vilna. There's a lot of shuls over there. Thousands of people were there every single day. And everybody, he says, this time with him, was collecting. A lot of poor people there collecting money for this. But I can't give anybody. What do we have this time? No. So he says, I can't give anybody. So what should I do? Well, how am I supposed to take care of this mitzvah when I can't give everybody stuff? So it's brought down in that sefer that Rav Chaim Oizer answered him. An interesting answer. It says, the Tana says in the Pirkei Avos, I think last week, have maktim shalom lechal adam. Every person that you greet, you should greet. So Chaim Oizer says, but when I came to Vilna, because he also came from, I think, from Ishishuk, he came from a small town, and ended up in Vilna, which is a big town, it's a big town in Mitzvah. He says, when I came to Vilna, I saw that I could no longer be maktim shalom lechal adam. I can't do anymore. There's thousands of Jews over here. So how can I be possibly the maktim shalom lechal adam? How can I greet everybody properly? So therefore he says, since you can't do it, so what are you going to say? You're hired to do it, but you're over halacha. It's talk about a situation where you can do it. And therefore, Rav Chaim Oizer responded to the disciple, the same concept applies to tzedakah. Those are the words that are written over there in the sefer Tondus Yaakov in the name of Rav Chaim Oizer for the fact. Let me respond to the question. What's the comparison from Maktim Shalom Uchal Odom to Mitzvah Tzedakah? Maktim Shalom Odom, a nice mission for the office. It's a beautiful Adhaga. All of us should adopt that. And Shalom Al Yisrael. But the Mitzvah Tzedakah is a Mitzvah Deraisa, which if you don't do, you either a Moshe say. What's the Chaim Moshe comparing these two things? What does one have to do with the other? How is he answering the disciples' query? So the answer is, I think, double question. Where Chaim Moshe is telling you, you have to know the situation. If the situation is, like we said, if the situation is that the person is possibly dying from hunger right now, and if you don't give him, of course you have a need to give him. If you don't have anything, you don't have anything. But whatever you have to give to that individual, because that's an immediate need. Yitzin loy miyad kuhub to v'noch mishgamzu. So of course, for that, there's absolutely nothing to talk about. There's no sign of the death. But the majority of the cases, even in those days, the need wasn't immediate. That the racistic scenario of tzedakah was not applicable. But what is applicable? What the Rama said. That every time you're being asked is a concept of a Yom Shtach Nichlom, that, the Makam Sheesher, Esher, the Makam Sheloi Esher, Esher, that halacha of a Yom Shtach Nichlom is akin to Maktim Shalom Chalotim. I can see the common denominator between those two halachas. They're both beautiful misogyny, how a Yid should live his life. Obviously, you gotta live your life, but if you can't do it, I mean, if you want to be Maktim Shalom Chalotim in the Sakhness of the building, you're standing there all day long. That's all you've been doing all day long. That's right. If you're gonna give tzedakah to every case, every time that somebody bothers you over there, like in the case of Vilna, it's not shaykh to do. So when it's not shaykh to do, you're not embarrassing him. You know, it's embarrassing him is only where I could, and you're here, and there's no reason for me not to do it, and I say to you, go away. That's embarrassing. That's a Yom Shtach Nichlom. That's the opposite of your Maktim Shalom Chalotim. I can hear the comparison. But when it's a situation where I'm davening in shul, and I'm trying to focus, and I'm trying to do my thing, and you're coming to bother me, come to me later. Come to me after davening. You're in a rush. That's your business. But my business right now is to daven. Come to me after davening, come to me. So Yom Shtach Nichlom doesn't apply. And the mitzvah deraisa of the lesson said deraisa also don't apply in most cases. And therefore, I mean, it's another passage. That even if a person has a lot of money, and he's a big bank stalker, Baruch Hashem, Thomas Hill is filled with your big bank stalker. But a person doesn't have to get stuck at 24 hours a day long. What happens if he's sleeping and the Ani knocks on his door and he says, and he gets the message, I'm sleeping right now. He's oivet, his din, of Musalim, Senech, and he's sleeping, this is not. He comes to me, what it works. Doing davening, it doesn't work for me. So it's not shaykh to say that a person is over any iser when he is davening. When he's davening, he's supposed to be davening. In other words, in addition to the concept that an oisik mitzvah talking about a mitzvah, but it's more than that. This is not the time to get stuck in right now. The first time we're going to get stuck in all the time. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who rather be harassed in shul than be knocked on the door of their house. There are a lot of people like that too. So that's something else. I mean, if you welcome this person in your shul, then you start to should give him. If this is a place that they accept, people don't give it home or in shul. But at least you should give a shul if you don't give it home. But the proper thing is that you tell the person, listen, right now, I can't, right now I'm busy. And look, but I don't say that this goes into any shiloh or yomish definition, and certainly it doesn't apply to the real mitzvah of stucker that a person is asked to do. So, halachah l'maaseh in this shiloh is like this. I tell you, my shul in Lakewood, we made a takana that shalachim could come, and they have to come until yishtabach. After yishtabach, they know not to come. And they can come again after Ba'ashu Gomatsin. And there's a big sign hanging up there, and it's already been like that already for over a year. The drivers are trained, they know to do this. They don't come. Come on, hardly do we get any Shalom that come from Yishtabach until after Ba'ashu Gomatsin. They don't come because they know how to use the system, and they do practice. I don't think, certainly a shul has a right to make any takana that they want, not to allow collecting of sukkah at all during davening. The shul that does that is not a bad shul. You can't condemn that shul as being anti-sukkah. Chas v'shalom, nobody is anti-sukkah. We're more pro-sukkah than anybody else. No nation could come to our sukkah giving. That's not the shayla. But the question is, a person has to know how to set the priority straight, and a shul has a right not to allow. There are shuls in Lakewood that do not allow any shalachim, wrong brachas, only if after a leilu, absolutely forbidden. Then, you know, that's what they want to do it, that's fine. By me, I felt that it's going a little bit, extreme, because we don't want to be against stuck, and we do want to have the power of stuck. As a matter of fact, we actually want to perform stuck before davening. If we can, we want to perform stuck during davening. And even Sadiq Echsa Fanecha, it's part of the hachana that a person wants to daven. We know that the Arizal was misakin that stuck should be given by a birth davening. When a person says, well, oishe, va'akamitul fanecha, va'atul moishul bakoel, this is actually a time for us to get stuck. So we see in the first raya of the Arizal that at that time a person is supposed to get stuck. That's not a conflict with tefillah. This is part of tefillah. So in other words, it could be that this is a chelik of the avoid of tefillah is also stuck in the right time, in the right place. And could be that the Arizal was misakin it to give them. Because everybody should get that, but not later. Because later on, you're supposed to concentrate on Birchus Krishna and Krishna and Shurashe. That's not the time to give tzedakah. But during Pesukah Nezimah, what is Pesukah Nezimah? What is Pesukah Nezimah? Pesukah Nezimah is a hachamah tefillah. Zimmer is the lashon that you've been mezamered in the katrin giving. You're cutting away from the katrin giving, which are trying to block the tefillah. So part of the hachamah tefillah is tzedakah. So if you do it back before, not, but sometimes it doesn't work out. So therefore, he did it right before Yishtabach, when he said, Va'osh Shekhamah Tzmanecha, when he get ready to go into the actual tefillah, that's the one you're supposed to do. And I heard from Isaiah of Yaakov Kamenetsky, that the minute, where does it come from, the minute that people stand up by Baruch Tavit? In Shulchan Aruch, in Mishpura, it doesn't say that by Baruch Tavit you need to stand up. Where did the minute come up that people stood up from Baruch Tavit? So he says, because there were some people in the community that did soccer at that time, like the Takan of Darizal, and as the Mishnah says in Chagiga in Bikurim, that Oim Din Bifnei Oisim Mitzvah, when a person performs a mitzvah, you need to stand up for him, because he's doing a mitzvah that you're not doing. Not everyone was able to give soccer, people were poor. The few that were able to give soccer, people stood up. So everybody stood up by Baruch Tavit, because at that time, some people were giving soccer. And the Mishnah says, if living the meaning became that people already stood up by Baruch Tavit. So we see that was the minute is strong for generations, and it's not really, in my opinion, it's not appropriate to stop what's been ongoing for years and years. But nevertheless, to go ahead and do so during other parts of davening, Birchas Krishna, Krishna, Shemesh, Chazor Shashat, Shemepur, Shemesh, Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tov Kuf, in Shnebur, in Simen Tov Kuf, Samach Vav, and Ilchus Tainis, he writes over there that even though Stucker is part of Tainis, but don't do so during Chazor Shashat, Chazor Shashat is supposed to concentrate on the Shemesh Tzibur is saying, and not do anything else during Kriyas HaTorah, absolutely not the time to collect Stucker, even Ben Gadra LeGadra, that's not the place for it, not the time for it, and therefore, it's a shul has a right to make such a takana. If all the shuls would do it, so then it will be systematic and powers. So then you know when they could go. There's all kinds of minyanim. They're able to go 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock and 7:30, whatever it is, it could work out. We don't want the aniyim chas v'shalom to lose. But therefore, that would be the proper, appropriate way of doing things. Well, I said, if a shul did not do it, and now a person is in shul, he's davening, and me and are coming to ask you, so the question, what if you don't even throw to this? So it's brought down in the Shalas Chubas, Rubin, the Safrai, the Refrain, Rubin, the Safrai, the Remotion, and the same thing, he brought down in Alisha Shalemba, in the Hanogas, the Refrain, Zaman Orbach, that what they did was, in order to deal with this conflict, they prepared coins before davening. They put it down on the table right in front of them, and the Aniyim took on their own. Out of Gevalvik, a trust in the Aniyim, and once it goes, and the Aniyim took on their own, and they didn't know nothing, so they figured out a way where it's not a conflict at all. It's not even a tircha. In other words, it's not even a tircha. So if it's not even a tircha, then you don't even have a submitted part of the mitzvah. Not according to the Taz, not according to the Ram. Because they just put it down there and they allowed it to happen. This is how they don't do this. It's interesting. Rav Chaim Kanievsky talks about this in a number of places. So he has a sefer Derech Amudah, which is his classic sefer on the Hichas Matnas Anim. So there he takes up for a double posha. Absolutely exempt from giving tzedaka throughout the entire davening of Kriyas HaTorah. Poshut, he doesn't get involved in too deep plumbers. He says, Oysif the mitzvah, Poptim in the mitzvah, it applies over here. And he says, and he brings Prutim to Rabbi Yosef as the source, and he says, we could compare it to Prutim to Rabbi Yosef, and he passes without going into any plumbers. This is what he writes clearly in Derech Emunah, which is a halacha sefer, B'Torah Pesach. There's a letter that Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote, and is printed in other places. And he explains it there a little bit more. And he goes through some of the things that we said. He says that this is not considered e-eshel l'kayim shtein, even according to Tais Shishita. He says, mafriyas ha-kavonah. This disturbs the kavonah, and therefore it's e-eshel l'kayim shtein. But Lavach, he says, we're a fashion of Tais. We pass in like Iran, that in eshel l'kayim, afil in eshel l'kayim shtein, you're still a spotter. And then he says, he adds in the letter, a person is not obligated to put money down at the table, maybe an Ani will come, because he says, who says? He says, Ani will come, maybe he will come. And he says, V'ech yishmer ein kol tefila. How are you going to watch the money throughout the whole tefila? V'ein sofek sheyafriya ha-kavona. No question about it, it will disturb the kavona. And then Rav Chaim, only Rav Chaim can say this, V'gam ani yedeh ba'atzmi, I know myself, sh'mani meichin lefnei tefila, zeh mafriya mi v'kavona sa tefila. Not a lot of people are willing to admit that, but he writes that I know that if I put that money on the table, it bothers me during davening. It disturbs me. It's there. The thought is there. It takes away from the clarity of the void of the tefila. So it comes out that the halacha l'maaseh is that in this situation of Isaac mitzvah, and mitzvah, we have the halacha of Gedolei Yisrael that tell us that this is so, and therefore a person, a mother, could do that, and he does not have to give to tzedakah when he's being asked to do so. The only thing is, I mean, I think it's double pashut that if during davening you're looking at your cell phone or learning, it's not looking at the diagram, or like some people think that they're not a sick to Hillel when during Sukkot Zimra or something like that. So you're not davening anyway. So then you can get stuck. That doesn't hurt. You're allowed to get stuck if you're not davening anyway. Or Chas Shalom, the person talks to Chazor Sashat and says, while he's talking to his friend, I can't get stuck now because I'm busy with Chazor Sashat. That person's a hypocrite and that doesn't work. So a bash, that's a heavy person that has to judge himself and correctly according to what he said. This is the questions I saw that one of the questions was whether it's appropriate to vet Aniyim that come into town and not. So this is a controversial subject, and you have different opinions, and of course you do what the Rabbonim in the town say. If you ask me, I think that the question is not whether to vet or not to vet. I think absolutely we do need. The real question is how it's done, the approach, the process that is done. I know some cities it's done very well. I don't know exactly about Chicago, but in some cities, the way it should be done is, instead of it being an FBI inquiry and going down to the person's kishkas and asking his whole history and fill out a form and there's that. It's supposed to be a service. We're supposed to help them. And by actually vetting them, we're helping them because we're giving them credibility. We're making them people like it that somebody went through it and they get more. So if we're helpful to them, we're not rejecting them. We're not making it more difficult. We're actually making it easier. If they can't go through a simple vetting process, then they don't deserve to be collecting it in the city. And that's true. But the way to do it is, it's a service. It's a service. We offer them food, we offer them transportation, we offer them a place to stay, and we offer them a way to enhance their collecting. And by actually authenticating them and going through a process, so then this is something that I know in one community that they're so tough over there, it's almost like an attorney. Grilling you over and over again. If it catches you any contradiction with what you said, you're done. And that's completely not the right way to do it. That's not what we're looking to do. Because who is a Nitzruch, who is not a Nitzruch. We don't have Aniyim today like the days of Chazal. Anyway, the whole thing is a whole different kind of a thing. So the main point is to try to get to as good picture as you can and to try to help them, and therefore this would be the proper way of going through this. Was there any other question? Okay, thank you very much.